has been set aside for the subject of stewardship. Stewardship. And we talked about, and we're reviewing each Sunday morning, stewards are to be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 tells us. Stewards are to minister in giving. 1 Peter 4:10 says, every man is that he received the gift, so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we talked about it. Anything that you have, you got from God. So freely ye have received, freely give, the Bible says. Because it's God that gives us everything. And we also talked about how we're going to be called to give a strict accounting to God. And in the parable here of the servants, we're told of a wealthy man that entrusts three servants with three different amounts of his goods. And I'm glad I read that. I think sometimes those of us maybe that feel like we're two-talent Christians, but we want to be five-talent Christians. Or maybe you're a one-talent Christian and you want to be a two-talent Christian. And I understand there's nothing wrong with being dissatisfied with self. Amen. We ought to try to be more like the Lord and surrender to Him more. But the simple fact is God gifts people differently. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 12:18, that He hath fit the body together as it hath pleased Him. I always relate this to our choir. Didn't the choir sound good this morning, by the way? I tell you, that's an encouraging song. But you know, our whole choir doesn't sing bass. Thank God for that. Amen. Bass all by itself, I'll tell you what, it can be pretty ugly. That's because, amen, me and Brother Becker and Brother Horst and Brother Merrill and Brother Hendershot, we sing the bass, so we fit the qualifications. Amen. But then you even take like something like alto. Alto is not beautiful all by itself. But boy, when you put alto and tenor and bass and soprano all together, it's beautiful. You know, that's what a church is. That's what a church is. We're a family. We're a family. We're a body. And God puts the body together as it hath pleased Him. But this we know, that God, no matter what type of Christian you are, whether a five talent or two talent or one talent, God is going to call you into account for what He has given to you. And He demands increase. You see, there's a lot of churches that have a lot of needs because there's a lot of people that are doing this with their gifts. And they're burying it in the ground. God's gifted you. God's gifted me in ways. And He wants us to use them for the edification and growth of the body. Our gift is not to sit, sour, and soak. Amen. That's not a gift. Trust me, there's enough of that. We don't need any more gifted people in that ministry. Amen? Really. God wants us to use our gift. And He's, listen, at the judgment seat of Christ, folks, He is going to call us into account, and His eyes are going to be a burning flame of fire. And as I've told young people so many times, how many of us have stood in front of our parents, and our parents, we knew we'd done something wrong, and our parents were standing there, and they were asking us rhetorical questions. Rhetorical questions are questions that the answers are obvious. Amen. One day, God is going to say, why didn't you do what I told you to do? And you know what we're going to have? No answer. No answer. I think it's a whole lot better to be embarrassed now and get some things right and start doing what we're supposed to do than it would be at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? I think it will be. And so God is going to call us into a strict accounting. And we talked about over the last couple of weeks. Hey, by the way, some people at that accounting that maybe got embarrassed here on earth, you know what they're going to hear at that accounting? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear that. I really do. I want my family to hear. I want my family to hear that. Amen. I want you to hear. Nothing will make a pastor happier than at the judgment seat of Christ, that when people that he labored in the word over and in prayer over come to the judgment seat, that the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's like a father when a son receives an award or a daughter receives an award, the father wells up and says, "That's praise God. Praise God." Amen. Well, that's the way it ought to be at the judgment seat of Christ. It ought not to be weeping. It ought not to be shame. Hey, let's be ashamed now. Let's repent now. Let's mourn and be afflicted now, as James says. Why? That at that day, we're given a good account. So we talked about the stewardship of self, and we talked about how self can certainly be a problem, amen. And then we talked, last week, we talked about the stewardship of silver. We talked about how there's some perceptions about money, and the perceptions is that money is evil. And we talked about that money is not evil, it's amoral. The love of money is the root of all evil. And then we talked about money can present some spiritual dangers. It can lead to pride. It can lead to covetousness. It can lead to so many other ills. But then we had some realizations, not only perceptions, but some realizations about money. The first realization is the ownership of God, that God owns us and everything we produce belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Every nickel. You say, I don't like that. Honestly, with authority on the Scriptures, I do not care if you like that or not. We belong to God. We belong to God. And that means our money belongs to God. And we talked about another realization, not only the ownership of God, but our accountability to God, that we will give an account to Him. And then we talked about the perceptions and the realizations and some decisions to obey God in the tithe. Tithing is a matter of obedience. The tithe is the Lord's. And that first 10% is not yours, it's not mine, it's not Uncle Sam's, it's not Aunt FICA or Uncle Social Security's, amen. It belongs to God! And we're to give it accordingly. We're to give it accordingly. Why? Because God intends for His work to be supported by His people. It is very rare, ladies and gentlemen, it is very rare in the work of God that a millionaire or billionaire comes along and says, I'm going to finance this. Now, let me just say this as a pastor. Heart and motive, as long as the money didn't come from wrong means. Listen, I'm not looking for a Las Vegas casino to help us pave our parking lot. Amen. But listen, if somebody came along and had the right motive and said, we'd like to be a blessing to the church, and they didn't make it peddling booze, they didn't make it peddling pornography, amen. I wouldn't want that blood money on our parking lot, amen. Here's what I'm saying. That's rare. God intends for God's people to give an equal amount to do the work of God. Listen, if you're a widow and you make $35 a week, God doesn't expect you to tithe $150. He expects you to tithe $3.50. Amen. God's fair. God's equal. So we talked about that obeying God in the tithe, then allowing God to use you in offerings. And so we talked about the stewardship of self, and we talked about the stewardship of silver. Just imagine, if you would, this morning, that there's a bank that credits you with $86,400 every day. Some of you right now are smiling. Hey, that stewardship of silver, we'll take care of that parking lot with that kind of amount, Pastor. It carries no balance from day to day. Every evening deletes whatever part of the balance that you have failed to use during the day. What would you do? The answer is you draw out every cent. Amen. You'd get every cent out of that bank. You'd squeeze that money for all that it was worth. Each of us has such a bank. It is called the United Bank of Time. Each of us every day has 86,400 seconds in the day. Each one of us does. Listen, every night it writes off as lost whatever of this we have failed to invest in good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day opens a new account for you. Each night it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. Think about it. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Make the most of today. Our text in Psalms chapter 90, verse 12 says, So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. A sister verse is found in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Will you choose to number your days and redeem the time? Let me give you a few responses to numbering the days that people will give over the course of years. And can we say particular to young people will give some of these responses, but I've known older people to give them as well. I've got my whole life ahead of me is one response. How many of you know somebody under 10 years old that passed away at some point in your life? Raise your hand. Look around you, folks. How many of you know somebody, putting your hands down, not counting the same person, under 20 years old that passed away? Look at that. How many of you know somebody, different person, under 30 years old that passed away? Under 40 years old. Okay. What are you trying to say? The truth is, you don't know how much life you have ahead of you. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, Proverbs 27:1 says. I'll get to it. How about this one as a response for the numbering of days? I'll get to it. ... later. I'm getting convicted about my own lawn care right about now. Amen. I'll get to it later. When it comes to redeeming the time, I'll get to it later. Oh yeah? A lot of hands just went up. Might not have a later. These are responses. How about this one? Classic, goes right along. I've got plenty of time. Who sung that? Was it you, Brother Lawley, that sung that song? I've got plenty of time. Didn't realize. You know, the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 thought he had plenty of time to build new barns. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. I don't really need to do it right now. I've said this for many, many years, and I've tried to live this way. When God speaks to my heart about something, about repenting of something, don't wait. Because the devil is so slick at getting us to just hang on to this thing that God told us to let go. Isn't he? He sure is. I'll tell you, I know he is. I have to get to it right now. How about this? I'll start after ellipsis. It's not the right time. It's really not that important. Something came up. I've got too much else to do right now. Those are some common responses when trying to encourage somebody to number the days. Let me give you, if I could, some roadblocks to numbering our days. Luke 16:1 says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused that he had wasted his goods. Now we're talking about time today, folks. Consider that. Keep that in mind. Proverbs 18:9 says, he that is also slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You know, God is not a fan of waste. God is not a fan of waste. See, we don't really know that in America. I think of the American Indians and how they ate the buffalo and they used the, there was literally just barely one half of a half of a tenth of the buffalo they didn't use. They used every bit of it. I want to tell you, God is not a fan of waste. And most of us try to not waste our money, and we try to not waste this. We try to take good care of our homes. Amen. It's right to do all that. But I'll tell you something we waste, and that's time. Time. Listen to some of these statistics. A few modern roadblocks to numbering our days. Based on a scale of 60 to 70 years, the average person spends 10 years, 365 days a year, 24-hour days, 10 years watching television. Pastor, do you watch television? I do. I watch television. I try not to let television run me, though. Somebody say amen. 10 years in front of the television. I appreciate something one of our dear brothers said yesterday about soul winning. And we're talking about how it's an hour and a half on Saturday, and I know it's a busy day for people and all that. And I was just being pastor, just saying, I understand people got to cut their lawn. They got things to do. And this brother said to me, I've got things to do too, Pastor, when I'm done here. I loved hearing that. I'm telling you, that blessed my soul. Television, 10 years. Modern, and this number is going to go up. The internet, 3 years of a person's life spent on the internet. Facebook, a modern internet site, 5 years. Cell phones, people, and this statistic is going up too. I see young people, and they got their cell phone. I got my cell phone right here. By the way, it's on vibrate. Amen. It's not going to go off during the service. Like some people I know. I can't mention her name, but her initials are my mom. Amen. No. I see young people and they're walking like this. And they just run. I literally watch them run into things. They're just like, you know, it's like trying to mow a lawn in a straight line. They're on these things all the time. Be careful. Might be wasting God's time. Amen. I think of emailing and sports and hobbies. And by the way, I'm not telling you you can't enjoy life. And I'm not saying technology's wicked. Obviously, you know that about me. But what I'm saying is this. When it comes to our seconds, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Roadblocks. Roadblocks. Waste. I think of that. Responses. Roadblocks. How about reasons for numbering the days? Time, according to Ephesians 5:16, is flooding with evil. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, when I think of two of the most severe judgments of God in the Word of God, I think, of course, of the flood of Noah. Let me step aside. I believe the main reason why God flooded the world was because the angels left their first estate. That's my belief. They left their first estate. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. And all of a sudden these hybrid creatures were born, these giants in the land. And God said, it's wicked, it's wrong, and I'm going to flood the world. Terrible judgment. But then, of course, we couldn't but think of 500 years later, 500 years after God cleaned the world, we have the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. The judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen, I know, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't popular to preach in our day, but it was certainly a judgment of pride, certainly a judgment of self. But I'm going to tell you, it was a judgment of the sexual sin of homosexuality. God judged it severely, that it would be an example to those afterwards that would live an ungodly life, Jude tells us. What does the Bible say about these judgments? Yes, those were terrible days. Yes, they were awful days. 2 Timothy 3:13 says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? Our time is flooding with evil. We live in the most evil day that has ever existed. Ever. Because it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's a laundry list that God gives us of these last days. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. How many of you have seen that increase in the last 50 years? Amen. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, as I've said so many times, and I'll continue to say, as long as God gives me breath, the only reason that a quote-unquote mother could go into a clinic and have a baby ripped out of her womb is because she is without natural affection. There's not a more helpless creature than that infant. You could do something like that. God pity the man who can butcher babies for a living. He's without natural affection. Those are the days we live in, folks. Those are the days we live in. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. And that has to do with a lack of sexual control. That's the day we live in. Fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, which goes right along to the first part. Men should be lovers of their own selves, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, ever learning, verse 7, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hey, why should we number our days? Why should we apply our hearts unto wisdom? Why should we redeem the time? Because time is flooding with evil. Time is not only flooding with evil, but time is flying by. How many of you know this? Boy, the older we get, the more we recognize this. And this is, listen, I know this is nothing to some of you folks, but I graduated high school in 1990. Now, again, some of you seniors just looking at me shaking my head saying, you're just a kid, Pastor, you're just a kid. But that was 22 years ago. And it seems like it was about 5 years ago. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Brother Merrill was telling me, he said, we just went to our 50th class reunion, our 55th class reunion. And I thought, boy, it seems like yesterday I got married to that beautiful bride in 1996, June 1st. Brother Horst, didn't it seem like yesterday you and Nancy tied the knot 59 years ago? Just how quick time flies by. Just flies by. You know, the old line at work was, time flies when you're having fun. My response was always, it flies whether you're having fun or not. Amen. It flies because it flies by. James 4:14. You know the verse. Brother Glenn, you know sign language. Amen. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even as a vapor. A little piece of steam that appears for a little bit and then it's gone. Because that's how quick life flies by. So you know what I think we ought to do? We ought to redeem the time. We ought to consecrate our seconds to God. It flies by. It's flooding with evil. Time not only is flooding and flying, but it's fleeting, isn't it? It's fleeting. John 9:4, Jesus getting ready to heal the man that had been born blind. And he says to his disciples, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I tell you, I really do. This is just a personal thing with me. I love sunsets. I really do. I love sunsets. I love looking over at this wet. I love the sunrise. I see the sunrise over here, but I love the sunsets. And my dad was always one who would tell me, he said, son, clouds are very important for sunsets. And he didn't realize he taught me a spiritual lesson there. Clouds are very important to sunsets. Storms. Things that come into our life. But I love sunsets, but you know what they are? They're a grim reminder that every day ends. It's the end. It's the end. You know, the simple fact is, ladies and gentlemen, one day every one of us is going to enter the sunset of life. Our time is going to be up. According to our text today in Psalms chapter 90, it says there in verse 10, for the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet their strength is labor and sorrow. It says there, 70 is 70, and if it's 80, I remember hearing one of our dear senior saints say, Pastor, I know this for sure according to the Bible. I'm on borrowed time. We're all on borrowed time. We're all on borrowed time. So time is fleeting. Time is flying. Time is flooding. You know what else? Time is flowering. Think of your life. I've thought about preaching on this so many times. I've just never had the liberty. God's never let me put the sermon together. I thought about preaching on the seasons of life. You know, we're, praise God, right now, at least till Thursday from what I hear. We're in the springtime. I looked over at the tree in Pastor Donald's yard there in the parsonage and it had the red buds all over it. You know, that's that, if I could put it this way, that's our first 20 years. Everything's new. Everything's wonderful. Everything's growing. Everything is happening. And then spring moves into summer. Summer's that 20 to 40. 20 to 40, you have such so many, you know, summer's a time of good things, isn't it? Summertime, you say, no, it's a time of mosquitoes and you know, you got to run the air conditioner. And No, it's a time of good things. It's a time of blessedness and warmth. And that's a time when you get married and you, Lord willing, you have your children and all these things that God blesses. But then summer moves into fall, doesn't it? And I like fall. But one thing about fall, and I don't mean to ruin fall for you. Fall's my favorite season, by the way. I don't mean to ruin fall, but you know what's all around us in the fall? Things that are dying. Beautiful. Trees. Flowers. And that's that 40 to 60 period where things start. And then, of course, as my boys will say, spring leads to summer. And summer leads to fall. And fall leads to Christmas. That's what they say. Amen. Because they're 2 and 3. But it really leads to winter, doesn't it? Winter's that period where everything's cold and things die and they stay that way. You know, our life is like a flower. It comes up in the spring, blooms in the summertime, starts to wither in the fall, dies out in the winter. That's our life. That's just part of the flowering nature of life. 1 Peter puts it this way, 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Responses to numbering the days. Roadblocks to numbering days. Reasons for numbering our days. Can I give you some requirements for numbering the days where the rubber meets the road here as far as your stewardship? You're going to have to do some prioritizing. Prioritizing. Do I really need to spend 10 hours a day in front of the television? Prioritize. How do I prioritize, Pastor? This is always how you prioritize. What kind of place and prominence does this book have in your life, in your everyday life? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's time for a quiz. If I were to take a wide mouth jar and to take several large rocks and put them in, to where I couldn't put any more rocks in, I could hold that up and say, is this jar full? And maybe a young person would say, yes, it's full. Maybe a person who's been around the block a couple times would say, no. You take that, and then I take some gravel. And I pour in the gravel and fills in all the spots in the rocks. And we'd say, now is the jar full. It's still not full, is it? Then I take some sand and I pour the sand in, and the sand fills in all the cracks around. And I say, is that jar full? And some would say, no, it's still not full, because then I take some water and I pour the water in. Now it fills up all the way to the top, and now it's full. And you know what the point of that illustration is? If you don't put the big rocks in first, everything doesn't fit in that jar. Can I tell you what the big rocks in our life ought to be? Time in this book ought to be a big rock in your life. Amen. Time in this book ought to be a big rock. Time in prayer. A time telling somebody about Christ. Time with your family. Time in your church, meeting with the people of God, ought to be big rocks in your life. Listen, I remember this like it was yesterday. A young man, a 15-year-old young man in our youth group, came to me and he said, Pastor, I've got to talk to you. I said, okay. He said, I've come to a conclusion that every decision that I make is either right or wrong. By the way, if every 15-year-old could say that, if every 30-year-old could say that, 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, he said, I've come to that conclusion. Every decision I make is right or wrong. And then he said something I have never forgotten. He said, with God's help, I'm going to try to make the right decision every time. That young man's name was Eric John Tharp, our pastor's oldest son. He was killed in a car accident at the tender age of 18. But from 15 to 18, he decided every decision was going to be for God. Oh, that each one of us would prioritize in our life. The television can lull you to sleep. Sin can lull you spiritually to sleep, where you don't realize that the seconds are fleeting. There's a great website I go on, and it opens up to Christian website. And as soon as you go on it, it's got a counter on it. Listen, I know it's morbid, maybe preachers only. But you go on this website and it has a counter. And it shows you every second how many people die and go to hell. And it says, you've been on this website for 20 minutes now, and it'll have all the numbers. And I'll tell you what, that's convicting. That's convicting. Prioritizing. You're going to have to, not only prioritizing, but walking. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. We're going to have to walk carefully with God. We're going to have to realize that every day has a beginning and an end, and God designs it to make us, to make every day count. Amen. Not only prioritizing walking, understanding the will of God. Pastor, what are some things that are the will of God? I'll tell you this, the first part of the will of God is that you'd repent and be saved. That's God's will. Why, Pastor? 2 Peter 3:9 says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. See, that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that everybody be saved. You know why everybody's not saved? Because man is not willing. Again, to my Calvinist friends, that's a punch in the nose. God is willing that everybody would be saved. The only reason men are not saved is because they don't want to be. It's just that simple. That simple. That's the first part of understanding, walking in the will of God. How about this? Reading the Word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119:97. That's the will of God. That you'd repent and be saved. That you'd read the Word of God. That you'd pray. You know, it's God's will that you pray. Pray without ceasing. God's will. What else is God's will, Pastor? It's God's will that you'd witness and share your Jesus with others. I had the great privilege yesterday of taking my 3-year-old boy, and he was holding my finger the whole time, almost squeezed the life out of it, amen? Holding my finger, and we were walking slowly up, I can't remember the name of the street. I know right where it is, though. Show you the house as we knock. Bush Street. Right off, right coming up to Ganson Street Baptist. We went right up Bush Street and we're walking. And he's reading me the numbers on the house. It's 812, Daddy. And we go to the door and we go to each door and we knock on the door. And we say, we're from Loomis Park Baptist Church. We'd like to give you an invite to our church. We'd love to have you come visit us. Thank you very much. It wasn't long where he said, Daddy, can I knock on the doors? Which is a little risky with a 3-year-old because they get a little. Next thing you know, somebody's coming out, you know, like this. So you never know, right? But you know what blessed me? You know what blessed me? I know that's what God wants for every Christian, to get out there and tell people about Jesus. It blessed me that my little boy got to watch me do it. You say, Pastor, are you pumping yourself up? Please don't think that. It's not. It was a blessing because the Bible says this, and daily and in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Why did the church grow? Because they went house to house visitation, reaching people. It's God's will that we witness to others. Hey, you may go cubicle to cubicle at work. Brother Ken, you may go truck to truck. Amen. Wherever you are, you may go grocery store to grocery store. If you're a homemaker, wherever you go, take Jesus with you. I know this. We had a couple of young men from Hiles Anderson College stop in and see me the other day, and they said, where's a good restaurant in town, Pastor? And I said, Gene Davis, Steaks Eatery. And all God's people said, that was the best amen I got thus far. Amen. Why? Because if there's a good restaurant, you know what? We'll recommend it. Can I say this? We have an awesome Savior. That's a whole lot better than Gene Davis Steak Cedery. And worthy of our recommendation to other people. Witnessing is part of the will of God. Gathering with God's people is part of the will of God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, we're going to have church tonight. We're going to have church Wednesday night. Amen. We'll have missions conference and we'll have church Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday we'll eat, Sunday again. Amen. How about that? Why? Listen, it's not the day for less church. These churches that are going to the 1 hour a week entertainment service, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're breeding a bunch of illiterate Christians. They're breeding a bunch of skinny, unfed Christians. No, I don't want that. I want to come and be fed by the Word of God. Be fed by the Spirit of God. Hey, it's God's will that we gather with God's people. I've got to hurry here. What are some other reasons to redeem the time? Obviously, we know it's fleeting. Some requirements, rather. The filling of the Holy Spirit, that we desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not to have more of the Holy Spirit. It's that He would have more of you. Why? Because when we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. But to request His fullness is to put the flesh down, put our own desires down. I'll tell you, if we'd be filled with the Spirit, we'd redeem the time. We'd redeem the time. Singing. Singing is redeeming the time. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. I'm so glad now I've got this phone and it's got a Christian radio station. I mean a good one. I'd recommend anybody, you let me know. If you have internet in your home and you can get streaming of a Christian radio station, I'll let you know what this one. The real blessing of it is to wake up and pop on and have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and to take them with you all day long. How many times it walk around the office, Pastor Donald and I, one of us will be whistling something, the other one will kick right in. And then the other one will kick in. Like we're having a conversation in a psalm and hymn and spiritual song. There's room at the cross for you, and there's so many like that. Oh, that we'd sing. How about thanking the Lord? That's a way you can redeem the time. Giving thanks in all things. We read this morning in our devotions, Pastor Donald and I read Psalm chapter 103. I believe that's the psalm that William Bradford read when they landed at Plymouth Rock. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. That'll help you redeem the time. Remembering what the Lord did. And then submitting. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Responses to numbering our days. Well, I got plenty of time. Truth is, you don't know that. Roadblocks, numbering our days. Waste will do it. Television, internet. Just all kinds of things that get in our way. Sports. Not against any of those things. In their place. In their place. Reasons for numbering the days. Time is fleeting and flooding and flying and flowering, and requirements for numbering our days. Prioritizing. You're going to have to prioritize. You're going to have to walk circumspectly, understanding God's will, filling with the Holy Spirit, singing, thanking the Lord, and submitting to Him. Hey, you know what? 86,400 seconds every day. Let's make them count. Let's make them count for God. Father, we love